Now, McGraw-Millhaven.
On the home of the world champion Cardinals.
The Big 550 KTRS.
Well, the Washington Post has Howard Kurtz. We have Dick Weiss, former editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch for 30 years, 20 years in the Metro section. Been retired a little less than a year, I guess. And he's our very own media critic, and he takes us all to task from time to time. And it's a pleasure to have him back on the show. However, you're off. Where are you now? Are you in Key West?
I wish. I'm in Washington, D.C., but the weather is, I think, probably even better than in Key West. It's about 70 degrees. It's beautiful. And I'm at the American Press Institute, where I'm doing a workshop.
All right, there you go. Now, before we get started, your website is weisswrite.com, weisswrite.com. And you claim that people are coming up to you, telling you that they're listening to the podcasts of this segment?
They are. I was at, over the weekend, I was at Barnes & Noble. I was speaking to the St. Louis Writers Guild, and people were coming up and saying they were if they didn't catch it live, as we're doing it now, they are listening. They're going to the website, listening to it, and you can also download it on iTunes and, walk or jog and listen to the two of us opine.
Yeah, just don't drive because you'll fall asleep.
Right.
All right, Dick Weiss from WeissWrite.com. A couple weeks ago, you said that the Newswatch section in the Sunday Times was on its deathbed, as well as the Everyday section. What happened?
Well, actually, Sunday Post-Dispatch. Sunday Times is in good shape. But apparently what's happening is that the Newswatch section has been saved for the time being, and the Everyday section is changing, as just as we said, and we'll have the weekly sections, like Health and Fitness, will be folded into Everyday, and so you'll get a little less material, Everyday type material, than you had been before, but the nameplate Everyday stays, which I'm grateful for, because it has a long history at the Post-Dispatch.
Right. Now, they're using less news in the Everyday section, but did they get a couple of new comics?
That's a good question. Did they announce that? And I haven't actually seen the announcement in the paper. On Sunday, I was left town, didn't get a chance to read, but maybe there will be.
I thought I heard Vic and Katie talking this morning about a whole...
Throw a sop to the masses. A couple more comics.
Not as much news, but hey, yes. We got more comics for you.
Yes, I like to think we had, we broke that story, and I like to think that maybe we stayed their hand. They kept the Newswatch section, and they kept the Everyday nameplate, and they also, we talked about how they were running some ads on their obituary page promoting sexual enhancement products, and they're not doing that anymore, so... I think we've had a profound impact on the Post-Dispatch.
So what you're saying is you have more impact on the Post since leaving the Post than your 30 years there.
Easily.
All right, let's talk about the story closer to home, and that is the Josh Hancock story. I know you watched it both as a reader and a Cardinal fan, but also as somebody who watches how news is gathered. Pretty interesting week, wasn't it?
It really was. Really impressed me. Certainly, everybody was on a little bit of a roller coaster in terms of dealing with Josh Hancock's death. But there was also a kind of a media roller coaster, where at one point Tony La Russa was threatening to take a fungo bat to anybody, any reporter who approached them. I think he said in an insincere way, and. At that point, he had to have known that alcohol was involved, and I don't think that he wanted Josh Hancock's memory tarnished, particularly before his funeral. But after the funeral, I saw the Cardinals backing down a little bit and becoming a little bit more forthcoming with the media about details, maybe not all the details that we would have liked to have had. And a bit contrite about the way they run their operation. You know, I was a little surprised, even shocked, that they were serving alcohol in their clubhouse, beer, after a game. does KTRS serve you cocktails on the way out the door to your car?
No, they do not. But that is a long time baseball tradition.
Yeah.
And I was not shocked, only because I've been in a couple of clubhouses from time to time.
Right.
And it was I didn't think anything of it. When I was in college, I was in some AAA ballpark, and we were leaving as the team was coming in. We were like, wow, beer. That must be great to get to AAA where you have beer in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this question. When the story first broke, there were media outlets who were using a guy named Vince, who wouldn't tell us his real name or his full name and wouldn't allow the media to show his face. And he was claiming that he was there with Josh Hancock. Now, was that a good enough source for you?
You know, when I read that with a little fear and trembling, I think Jake Wagman was the guy who came up with that source.
Right, but even because they're not TV saying, used them too.
I'm sorry?
TV used them as well. TV,
same guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think his wife was backing him up, but she wasn't being named either. I don't even think we got the wife's first name.
Correct.
And boy, if you're wrong on that, you're going to have a latte egg on your face. And my suspicion is that Jake knew some other things that suggested to him that Josh Hancock had been drinking, and that they felt confident that they could go with that. But yeah, I read that, I think readers too could be skeptical about that kind of information. But it turned out to be right, and when you're right, you're right.
Right.
And so,
how much needed to be told before the funeral?
We're in the business of getting the news out there as quickly as it can be done. Otherwise, you can be accused of suppressing it for one reason or another. For a good, and you might have a good reason or a bad reason. So. I would, as soon as I knew the information, I would get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, there's some sensitivity. Certainly, it would just make things, the grieving, a little bit more difficult for the family. But everybody has their role to play in society, and the role that newspapers play is getting information out on a timely basis. So mm-hmm. I would not have withheld anything before the funeral.
Joe Mokwa last week stood up at a news conference and was asked a question. I don't know who asked the other question, and the question was something along the lines of, did you find any alcohol in the car? And he said no. There were no signs of alcohol use in the car. He did not mention the marijuana tin in the car. He has later said that he didn't know about that until after that news conference.
Yes.
Now, should somebody have followed up and said, did you find any drug paraphernalia, or was he well within his rights? Now, we're assuming he didn't know about it. But should that have been a question asked at the news conference?
You know what I think was probably appropriate for him to say, and looking at this from the point of view, not the media, but from somebody who is in a sensitive job in the community, I would only share what I knew for certain with the media, and I'm sure he had his suspicions that a guy driving at 4 in the morning, it's 1 o'clock,
yeah, 12:30.
Runs into the back of a parked vehicle. I'm sure he knew what he was going, probably knew what he was going to find, but didn't know for sure all the details, that I would only release information that I was absolutely certain about. And it did come up at this press conference that they were going to look into that. They were going to get the blood alcohol level, and then there would be a toxicology report, which would take some weeks. So I don't find too much fault with him. I think if it had turned out that there was drug paraphernalia in the car or marijuana in the car, and he knew that, and yet he was going out of his way to tell people, well, you know, we didn't find any evidence that he was carrying beer in the car, that would be misleading. But I guess I have to take him at his word that he didn't know about that other part of it.
Yeah, you tend to bash the Post-Dispatch when need be. You also praise them when they need be. And I think the reporting of Joe Strauss over the weekend was phenomenal.
Yeah, they did a really responsible job and covered it from a lot of angles. There was the angle, the alcohol in the clubhouse angle, and they put that in perspective because about two-thirds of the teams or three-quarters of the teams do serve alcohol.
Right.
There was the angle about the position that the bartenders are put in
right.
when they see people leaving who they think may be inebriated. And I think if there's one story that, that I'm really curious about is, you know, ballplayers probably leave the ballpark most of the time in possession of all their faculties. The fans, I would say a reasonably or a scary percentage of fans, not a majority certainly, but a scary percentage of fans leave the ballpark probably not in in the shape to drive. I would like to see a story about that.
Well, that's a good question. And why aren't there?
I think they have a cutoff now, do they not?
They said seventh inning. Yeah, seventh inning.
But I have sat next to the most obnoxious people at the ballpark who ruin the day for me from time to time. You know, whether they're stacking those cups in the first seven innings.
This
a bad thing.
Yeah, this story really does go to the heart of a lot of sacred cows. The St. Louis Cardinals, Anheuser-Busch. The stadium is called Busch. It was a drinking and driving incident. But I think overall, my only concern was, hey, we should let the guy go into the ground before we start bad-mouthing his character. And the autopsy reports were released the day after the funeral. You all right with that? Because they did say that they
yeah they withheld it. I mean that's that you know if they feel that's appropriate. If I had it, I'd run with it. But if they withhold it, there's absolutely nothing I can do about it, and I'm not going to be jumping up and down and screaming about it.
Right.
So when they release it, they release it, and then we go with it. But there's a whole culture of drinking around sporting events, and it's an unhealthy thing, and I see that the Cardinals are now taking steps, and maybe Major League Baseball will as well. And in a way, the drinking's worse than the steroids because there are only a handful of people, kids perhaps, would be influenced to take steroids, but a lot of underage drinking out there.
Yeah, all right. Something else before we let you go, and that is Friday night I was in Key West on vacation, and I made sure I was in front of a television to watch 2020 because I had to see who they were going to name in the D.C. Madam story. And it turns out they didn't name anybody.
Well, not anybody that hadn't already been named.
Right.
And it was Al Capone's vault all over again, except it was Brian Ross, who has a terrific reputation as an investigative reporter, instead of Geraldo Rivera, who doesn't. And in some ways it was disappointing. The voyeur in me was disappointed that there weren't many names, but I also have to, once you get through all the hype, you had to respect Brian Ross for backing off because, as he noted, that the people on this list were not newsworthy in the sense that they were important public figures. And he saved them a lot of embarrassment. Probably a number of people probably would have been forced out of their jobs and their lives ruined, at least up to a point. And he said, no, it's not worth it. If I do that, and if I have to have people throw mud balls at me for kind of overselling the story in the beginning, I'll just have to take it.
He said big company executives, NASA officials, but none have risen to the notoriety to be outed, is basically what he said.
Right, and I think he actually said something about this has actually turned out to be a boring story.